Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Great Herb Debate 2012, One Siege, Chicago. We've got Anthony on line one, I hope still. Anthony Todd, Foodie Anthony, who is with Team Basil. You're with me there, pal, right?
I am.
All right, we're going back to, and I've locked in Jessica. Jessica Rinks, Team Cilantro.
Go cilantro.
And let's lock in Linda Tyson for Team Chamomile. And the first question I have to ask, well, we'll find out when you talk about that. So all three of you are there. Okay.
Yay.
Woo. All right. All right. You know what? I can die happy now. All right. Here's what we're going to do. Let's start the debate. I'm going to have each of you make an opening statement before we get into it and we start duking it out. Okay.
Sounds good.
All right. And I'm going to do this in alphabetical order, so we're going to start with Team Basil. Anthony Todd, give me your opening statement, please.
All right. Well, Mike, unlike you, who are a gardening expert, and are my fellow debaters, who are also gardening experts, I'm not a gardening expert. I'm kind of a brown thumb. I can grow things. I don't want to lose all my credibility, but not very many things. And one of the reasons when I first did a story on One Siege Chicago, I voted for basil is because it's the seed that I want to get for free, because it's the only one that I can actually make come out of the ground, which is a particularly important thing for those of us who are not expert gardeners. And besides that, as someone who loves eating, basil is the go-to herb for everything. I put basil on almost everything. I put basil on my salad dressings. I put basil on my pasta sauces. I put basil on my bruschettas. I put basil in anything I can think of that's Italian, that's French, that's Mediterranean of any kind. It's super tasty. It's super easy to grow. It may not have some of the health benefits of some of the other herbs, and it may not be quite as exotic as some of the other herbs. It's more familiar to most people who garden or who cook, but I think that's exactly the reason why it deserves to be the One Seed Chicago this year.
Thank you for your opening statement, Team Basil. In alphabetical order, we now go to Team Chamomile or Chamomile, Linda Tyson.
When I was a kid, I read a lot, and one of my favorite books was the book Charlotte's Web. And when I was thinking about chamomile, Charlotte's Web came to mind immediately, and that's because Charlotte, when she and Wilbur are first meeting, Wilbur asks, Charlotte's carrying around her egg case, and Wilbur says that she's versatile. And Charlotte says, well, what do you mean by versatile, Charlotte, full of eggs? And Charlotte says, no, versatile means I can turn with ease from one thing to another. And if I could choose a single word to describe chamomile, it would be versatile, because although we generally think of it as a delicious, relaxing tea, it has so many uses that are benefit our health and also the health of our gardens. As more people are gardening and growing herbs, they're chamomile's versatility is one of the reasons to consider growing it, and it's a prime reason that chamomile should be the herb of choice in this season's One Seed Chicago election campaign. As a beverage, chamomile tea confers numerous health benefits. It's been used as a medicinal herb since at least the time of ancient Egypt. It's said that the Egyptians dedicated chamomile to their sun god and valued it over all other herbs for its healing properties. Chamomile tea's usefulness for health has been studied extensively, and it's been shown to be beneficial for many health issues, from anxiety and depression to digestive problems, insomnia, arthritis, skin irritations, fevers, sore throats, cramps, migraine headaches, and I could go on and on. In the garden, chamomile tea's versatility extends from its beneficial uses as a companion planting to dealing with pests and diseases and as a fertilizer. The flowers are pretty and fragrant. Its versatility and usefulness as a medicinal plant, a delicious tea, and its practical uses as an organic gardening aid are all reasons our listeners will think. I think our listeners will agree that it should be the winner for One Seed Chicago this year.
I should ask Anthony whether he wants some equal time.
No, I think it'll come out in the discussion. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm sure of my position. I don't need more time.
Aha. Whoa. Okay. I love it. Snap. All right. Jessica Rinks, Team Cilantro. Jessica, have at it.
All right. So You know, I'm glad I got to go third because this gives me a good chance to point out that cilantro is the right choice because it has both the versatility that chamomile may have, and it also is really easy to grow like basil. You know, I love growing cilantro, and one of the other great thing about it is you get kind of two crops in one. You get the leaves, which we typically would refer to as cilantro, and then the seed pods, which we would refer to as coriander. It's two completely different flavors, completely different uses from one plant. The other reasons I love cilantro are that it grows really quickly. You don't have to start it indoors under lights like 6 weeks before the last frost date like you may have to do with basil. You can throw it in the ground and it'll grow. It grows really quickly. You get your harvest of the leaves usually within about 6 weeks of planting. It'll self-seed. You can easily collect the seeds and then save them to sow next year. It won't cross with any of your other garden plants. You know, so all in all, I think it gives us the versatility and uses, and it's so easy to grow, and it works so quickly, and it's so great for like a northern climate like ours. I think that basil is so ubiquitous. Most people who start gardens, they go to the garden center and they're like, I want some tomato plants and I want some basil plants. And I think for One Seeds of Chicago, it would be great to try to kind of broaden the horizon just a little bit. And I think cilantro is a really good kind of next logical step. And that's why I think cilantro is the best choice for One Seed Chicago.
Thank you, Jessica. All right, we have had our opening statements here, and I will comment a little bit. I guess I'll start with you, Jessica. Why should we vote for a plant that that has two names? It's flip flopper. It's coriander. It's cilantro. People want an herb that's going to stay the same herb, don't they?
Well, I think they want an herb that's going to give them the most bang for their buck. You know, people in Chicago don't have a lot of space in their garden. They want something that's going to give them the most use possible. And I think the fact that this plant is known by two names is just indicative of the fact that it has many different uses and that it's used in many different cuisines, not just European cuisines, but also Southeast Asian cuisines, Indian. It's just so versatile, and I think that's what people want when they're looking, what are they going to plant in this valuable garden space that they have? They should go for something that's going to give them a lot of bang for their buck.
Okay, you're talking about the various cuisines. I'm going to throw this out to any of the three of you. Where's the American cuisine in here? We want American cuisine. They're all stymied. Well, see? That's
doesn't
what happens.
Just involve a deep fryer.
We're all traitors.
we're all gonna go to the Super Bowl party today, and who's not gonna have some salsa? And the likelihood that cilantro is gonna be in that tasty salsa is really high. You know, I think at this point, cilantro, in terms of its applicability to Mexican cuisine, has almost become an American cuisine at this point.
Okay, very good point, and you just scored some points there, Jessica. You by stepping up and bringing in the Super Bowl reference. I mean, I go to Linda. I have to go to Linda right now and say, where's chamomile going to be during the Super Bowl? Chamomile.
Chamomile is going to be enjoyed as a tea while other people are watching the Super Bowl, because I'm not really into football at all. So I'll be drinking a nice cup of chamomile tea and doing something completely different.
So the chamomile is the anti-Super Bowl herb.
Yeah, I bet there are a lot of us gardeners out there who aren't really too much into the Super Bowl.
Are you going to be planting seeds? Is that? No, you're just going to be sipping your chamomile tea.
I might be planting seeds. I might be watering my indoor overwintering plants.
Uh-huh. Now, Anthony, basil. Where's basil going to be during the Super Bowl?
Well, basil can be in just about as many appetizers or spreads or salsas or pestos as cilantro can, but basil has the big advantage, which I think Jessica pointed out as a disadvantage. It's kind of ubiquitous. Well, that is a problem because, I mean, it's good that it's ubiquitous because, unlike cilantro, No one hates it. So the thing with cilantro is people either love it, and I'm actually one of the people who love it, to be totally honest, but people either love it or they despise it. And in fact, there was a really funny article on Huffington Post about 2 weeks ago about the top 10 most polarizing foods in the world, and cilantro was number one most polarizing because so many people love it and so many people hate it.
Hold on, Anthony. Honey Badger wants to comment on your comment.
Oh, that's nasty.
Okay.
No, and I love the stuff. I love it, and I try to plant it myself. But it is a polarizing herb, and I'm not sure Chicago can handle that level of polarization right now. We've got enough problems.
Oh, I have to go back.
It will bring us together.
Jessica?
Yes.
You have to respond.
Well, you know, I know this is an issue. I was reading some articles about it, and they've done a lot of research about why this is, why people don't like cilantro. And I guess it has a lot to do with the chemical makeup of cilantro. It reminds people sometimes of like a soapy flavor. But one thing I did discover is if you don't like cilantro and you just kind of, let's say you want to try to like it, if you add it into some of your foods slowly, you'll develop a taste for it. And one really great thing about it is if you chop up the cilantro, which releases like the oils and stuff, and then you kind of let it sit for a little bit before you actually serve it, and this would be a great preparation for, let's say, a cilantro pesto. It'll actually lose the proteins that give it to some people that soapy taste. So I don't feel that this is a deal breaker for cilantro. I just think, people need to give it a chance. In terms of pesto, I read that cilantro was actually the original pesto. So if you want to make, like, the most historically accurate pesto, you better use cilantro and not basil.
Ooh, all right. One of the things you brought up about cilantro is, in terms of growing it, it doesn't take up a lot of room. I got to take it to chamomile and basil. What about that? Basil can get pretty big, can't it, Anthony?
It can, but that's one of the reasons why it's awesome. I mean, unlike some other herb plants or what people are used to seeing, those little herb sprigs you get in the supermarket or the little baby plants at the farmer's market, basil is going to get huge. It can become a whole bush. And it's important that it get that big if you're going to try to make something like pesto or like a real basil sauce, because if you try to do it with those little tiny packets of herbs or those little tiny basil plants, you're going to spend a fortune or you're going to have to sow a lot of seeds. But if you let your basil grow either in your window or in your garden, we have a basil plant right now that's probably 2 feet tall and huge and has tons of leaves. And so I don't think that's a bad thing that it gets big. It's just different.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, in America, we like things big.
That's like,
bigger is better, right? Linda, your response.
Well, that's one of the neat things about chamomile, I think, is it's a plant. There are several different varieties of it, and it's a plant that grows in different sizes, everything from very short, just, you know, 2 or 3 inches tall, to a couple of feet tall. And, in fact, if space is an issue, there are varieties of chamomile that can be used as a lawn plant. So if you want to have a lawn and you don't want it to be grass, you can use chamomile instead, and you can harvest the flowers. You can, it doesn't have to take up space in the rest of your food growing space. And it also comes in other heights, too. If you want something a little bit taller, you can get the German chamomile is about 2 feet tall. So I don't think, you know, space is really an issue with chamomile because it will fit any space that you have.
I just got a tweet here, and it's, I don't know what exactly. Oh, okay, this is why. You just won somebody over, Linda.
Oh.
Okay. I've got
Super Bowl herb.
Yes, we're tweeting this just in to the Mike Novak show, hashtag anti Super Bowl herb, and the comment is that decides me, chamomile it is. Well, all right, you just won somebody over because you're the anti Super Bowl herb. All right.
And the funny thing is, it can also be the Super Bowl herb because, with a little coaching from Mr. Brown Thumb, I just found out that chamomile can be brewed into beer. Once again, proving the versatility of chamomile.
And Heather is going crazy in the booth because she wants some chamomile beer. Now, and I'll tell you, if any of you bring down chamomile beer to the studio in the next 20 minutes, you will win the debate. All right. Or any,
well, I don't mean to talk for the other side. I don't like to give, you know, Linda an unfair advantage, but I should also point out that one of our best local spirits from North Shore Distillery is actually distilled with chamomile. North Shore Soul, which is a wonderful citrus chamomile-infused spirit, is great. So as much as it hurts me to mention that, it's true. You can put chamomile in all kinds of great booze.
Well, now, see, there you go, Anthony. You're giving away points here.
But, I am.
So, Jessica, do you care to give away some points, too?
No. I'm here to represent cilantro. I'm committed.
All right. Well, make your case. I don't see anybody who's tweeting me or on Facebook right now saying I've just been converted to cilantro. What haven't you said yet?
I don't know. Well, you know, I did want to bring this up when we're talking about the size of the plants. Basil does get quite large, and I actually think that's great, you know, when you get your basil harvest. But the thing is, it takes a while to get that big, and, you know, people are impatient. They don't have a lot of time. And cilantro is going to give them a very quick harvest. And honestly, you know, when you're talking about people, new gardeners, I think that's an advantage. They're going to get some production, you know, pretty quickly. So
that's a really good thing. That's a good point. What, Linda? What about chamomile?
Well, chamomile does take a little bit longer to grow. That's true, but you know, I think one of the lessons from gardening that, you know, not that we're trying to learn lessons necessarily, but gardening teaches us patience, and I think that's an important lesson for a new gardener to begin to learn. And, you know, deferring gratification a little bit is not necessarily a bad thing when the result that you get from it is so beneficial and for so many different uses.
La-dee-da, patience in the garden. Oh, come on. That you just brought that old chestnut up. Actually, it makes a lot of sense.
It's totally true.
I'm sorry. And Anthony, how long does it take for basil to be worth its salt?
Longer than cilantro. I've got to give her that one. But on the other hand, I'm sure there are heirloom varieties of cilantro out there, but I've never grown them. I've never seen them. But I have seen a million different kinds of basil, as you were talking about with your guest earlier. You can have a whole garden full of basil. Once you get one, you get addicted. You can have so many. So it encourages people to get into gardening. It encourages people to seek out new varieties of plants. Whereas cilantro, they grow it, and they've got some, and then they eat it, and then they're done.
All right, at this point, I'm going to take a short break here. I invite the folks listening to us. We're still working on the stream, but those listening to us old school on the radio, what?
Regarding the stream, I've got one of our IT geniuses attempting to access it remotely. So knock wood, he can get a connection, and all of our troubles will be solved.
Meanwhile, your only option for this show is...
We're kicking it old school.
Radio.
Yep, that's what we have.
Radio.
So I'm inviting people on Facebook and on Twitter to ask some questions. If they haven't heard the right answer yet, give me a holler. I would ask you to call in, but you've heard my success. But I will tell our debaters here, Anthony, Linda, and Jessica, that during this time we have had Sal on hold. And he's not gone off the line there. Sal Gilberti is on hold, and he's been listening to the debate. So what we're going to do when we come back here is I'm going to go to Sal and see what each of you have missed. Or, you know, have him just give his opinion of each of these herbs. And meanwhile, it gives each of you a chance to regroup and make one final pitch before we get out of here, okay? This is the Great Herb Debate on the Mike Novak Show. If you want more information, you can go to my website, mikenovak.net, MikeNowak.net. Go to this week's show. You'll find the links to the various people who are on here. Oh, and before we do that, let me just give each of you, because I didn't earlier, each of the debaters here a chance to give a pitch for what they do. We'll start with Anthony again. He's his handle, his Twitter handle is @FoodieAnthony, and that's because you're the food and drink editor for Chicagoist. Tell us a little bit about that.
All right. Well, Chicagoist is one of Chicago's largest electronic media outlets. We're general interest, so it's not just a food blog. Some people get that impression when I talk, because it's just a food blog. We have news, we have arts, we have food. We get about 1 million views a month, so it's a pretty big blog. And I run all of our food coverage, restaurants, gardening, farmers markets, everything you could want. And everyone should check us out.
And Linda, who is blogs under the name Garden Girl, tell us a little bit about what you do.
I am a professional garden designer, and I have a garden design and maintenance company in the south suburbs. It's all sustainable, all organic, never use any chemical anything. Actually, chamomile tea comes in kind of handy for that business, as a matter of fact. It's great for damping off and antifungal, anti-pest type of treatment.
Oh, see, now
really
I'm surprised.
So it's something that I use. In my business,
I'm surprised you didn't bring that up before. Tell us how you would use that in working with seeds.
In working with seeds, it's a great treatment for damping off. You can you make a tea out of it.
Why don't you explain what damping off is?
Damping off is a fungal disease that affects seedlings. Just as they're sprouting, they look really healthy, and then all of a sudden you'll see this white kind of powdery coating on the base of the seedling, and it kills them. And sometimes you can lose an entire crop of whatever it is you're growing. It's one of the reasons why sometimes new gardeners have difficulty with seed starting. And chamomile tea is a great treatment for that.
What is in the chamomile that prevents the damping off?
It has antifungal chemicals. The exact ones I don't have off the top of my head, but there are several antifungal and antibacterial components in chamomile, so it's great for damping off. Not only that, for indoor gardening too. Fungus gnats aren't really a problem outside, but they can be kind of pesky inside the house. And chamomile tea, used as a soak for the soil, just when you're watering it, you make a solution of chamomile tea, and you just use that. Of course, you have to let it cool down first, or you'll kill your plants. But you just use that to water with, and it helps to get rid of the fungus gnat.
So no, we were talking about fungus gnats.
For gardening purposes. It's also good for powdery mildew and black spot disease, any kind of fungal diseases.
I didn't know that. We were talking about fungus gnats last week and ways to treat them, and if I had known, I would have added chamomile to that. That's...
It works. It really does. And cinnamon's another one, too. And the combination of the two is like the 1-2 punch that really knocks them out. Within just a couple of days, they'll be gone.
Now, if I had fungus between my toes and I soaked my feet...
Oh,
and
come on, ew.
Oh, okay, sorry.
No, seriously, yes, absolutely.
Really?
Chamomile tea is antifungal, and that includes for the human body. So it's really good as a skin treatment.
See?
All different kinds of things.
I just don't want to think of your feet when I go to have a nice cup of tea at the end of the day, okay?
Yeah, whatever. Anything on your skin that's in any kind of irritation, it's also anti-inflammatory. So it's got, again, it's got kind of a 1-2 punch because it's antifungal and it's anti-inflammatory.
Antifungal. Okay. See, now, Jessica, you're going to be hard pressed to follow that up, but actually, this is about you and Jessica Rinks, also known as Snappy J Dog, a regular contributor to this show, is a blogger and president of the Forest Park Community Garden. Tell me about yourself.
Well, you pretty much covered it, and I guess I'll just tell a bit more about the community garden. So Forest Park Community Garden, we're located about 8 miles due west of Chicago, just in case for people who don't know where Forest Park is. We have about 50 garden plots that are attended by people from our community who just grow food for themselves and their families. We also grow food that we donate to the local food pantry. We have events throughout the year. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to plug my seed swap.
Go for it.
We have a seed swap coming up February 19th from 2 to 4 p.m. here in Forest Park. If you want more information, you can go to our website. It's FP, as in Forest Park, communitygarden.org. And I don't have the information up right at this moment, but I will have it up within the next couple days.
And they can always find that link. It's on my this week's show page as well for Forest Park Community Garden.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
You know what? I did want to say one thing about chamomile and its use as an anti-inflammatory and things. One thing that I read, and, you know, I read it in one of my gardening books here. I don't know how credible it is, but I did read that if you have a ragweed allergy, that you may have an allergy to chamomile. So some people who have a really bad ragweed allergy may actually want to stay away from chamomile. I've never experienced that, and I don't know how true it is, but I just wanted to mention it.
I consider that a vicious attack.
Character assassination right there.
You're right, Anthony. Just, that is so low. That is the lowest blow of this debate.
It's just in the book. I didn't make it up myself.
You know, it's like, Anthony, if somebody had said, you know, if you touch basil, you're going to get a rash. I've never heard of that for basil anyway. But maybe probably somebody's allergic to all three of them.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
And I just got a tweet, and I hope I can read this correctly. Cilantriander is the bomb. Delicious cilantro for salsa and coriander for beer. I hate football, but I love the refreshments. We just got that tweet. All right, you guys hang on a second here. We're going to wrap this up, and I'm going to bring back Sal, who I hope is there. He might be. And we will wrap up the great herb debate on the Mike Novak Show. We're back at the Great Herb Debate Desk 2012 with Heather Fry, Mike Novak, and the Great Herb Debate team. Let us, I think I've got everybody on hold, and I guess we've got a comment.
We do, line five.
We will go to line five. And who is this on line five?
I don't know. Am I on line five?
You are, Alan.
Yes, you are,
it's
Alan.
It's Alan. Yes, I was really kind of rooting for the underdog, which was chamomile, because I thought, well, they really, not much to it. But then I started thinking, you know, in the great Super Bowl that's going to be happening, 50% of the people at the end of the game will need chamomile to soothe them. Also, on the bipolar identity crisis, this chamomile could help mediate that problem with the cilantro. Am I cilantro? Am I coriander? You know. And then I also saw another thing on the tube the other day where chamomile is used in cooking, not just for tea. They take the flowers and they cut it and they put it in a sauce.
Alan, you're a font of information and analysis. And we appreciate you calling the show.
I'm rooting for them all, basically.
Oh, come on.
No, it's chamomile. Somebody that has a peace march is real timid. Chamomile is calming. It's a mediator, but it's not going to be marching in there with guns and gusto, but that's why it should be appreciated.
I guess I got to bring in, did I just lose him? Okay.
Oh, did you just
that's okay.
Alan.
That's right. You know,
Sorry, Alan,
but those are great, great comments. I'm going to do this, and we're locked in. Let's not lose any more. Sal, are you still with us there?
I am still with
you,
and I have
yourself.
To say, Mike, I haven't had this much fun in a long time. You guys, this is a great, great show. I am really super impressed, and I also am super impressed with your three contestants. I thought at first they were all trial lawyers because they've done such a good job.
And not just because they were putting you to sleep, right?
No, they did not. It was very exciting.
I'm kidding.
I really enjoyed it very, very much. And they were very savvy people, which is fun, too.
In about a minute, what did we miss with our debate? Anything? Did we cover it all?
I think Anthony did point out that there are different sizes to basil, and I think that's really important because there's a lot of people who have smaller gardens who don't have room for a giant basil plant, but there's so many different smaller basils that can fit into smaller gardens. And there's also several varieties that are sterile that don't go to seed, but one in particular, which is called Aussie Sweetie or sometimes called Greek columnar basil, and that grows straight up, and so it doesn't doesn't take up a lot of room in the garden. So I thought that was important because for those people who don't have enough space and don't want a big basil but still want the use of basil.
Uh-huh. And, well, and as long as you're back and you held on, and I appreciate you doing that, I want to mention one more time, Herb Gardening from the Ground Up, everything you need to know about growing your favorite herbs by Sal Gilberti and Larry Sheehan. And thank you for being part of our debate, Sal. It's been wonderful.
Well, thank you for having me because it's been a lot of fun.
Oh, great.
And congratulations to all of your contestants. They did a great job.
I'm going to do that right now, and I'll let you go, and I'm going to bring them back.
Okay. Have a happy day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care.
And let's do that. Let's bring in Jessica and Linda and Anthony. You guys were awesome, all of you. I'm not going to declare a winner right now. I'm going to let our listeners do that. Anybody want to, you've got about a minute and a half. Any quick last comments?
I have one.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't know if you guys noticed at the beginning of the show how nervous I was. I'm sure you did. And during the course of the hour, I drank a cup of chamomile tea, and you may be able to notice a little bit of a difference.
Oh!
So much more relaxed.
Good. Testimonial here.
That chamomile tea.
She's good. You know what?
That's
awesome.
Yeah. Jessica?
Well, I just want to say that I had a great time doing the debate, and I do have a question, though. So if basil were to win, what type of basil would one seed give away?
Oh, she's just on the attack all the time. This, she just can't let it go.
That's about a lot of people want to know.
And Anthony, your response?
Well, and I actually don't know what kind basil would give away, that we'd give away for basil, but I think... I'm going to take a little bit of the high road, but also to finish it off. I think the most important thing is that everyone actually go vote for the one seed Chicago. Whoever wins, the point is to get lots of good seeds out there, to get Chicago gardening a little more. And frankly, I'd be happy to have any of these three plants in my garden, though, of course, basil is the best.
And that's a perfect way to end it. Thank all three of you. Yes, everybody go to One Seed Chicago, vote, and we will have a winner. We're out of here. Go green or go home.